Log Talk Radio.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
All right. It's that time again, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're listening, you're listening to the FFP Crew Show. I'm your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. And I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. On this Thursday night, it's a wonderful night. Fourth week in the NFL, fourth week of fantasy football, starting off with a Thursday night game. And before I get any further, I'm going to do this for the NFL. I got to hand it to them. They finally got the NFL refs back. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about the rule. That causes big controversy on Monday Night Football and caused the Green Bay Packers to go pouting off the field because they lost because of what happened with these replacement refs. We're also going to be talking about a former pitcher who wrote a book and laid out some accusations about his former teammates. What else is new? All these ex-jocks do that. A lot of them do that. We'll also be talking about a new hiring in the Major League Baseball. And this team, next year, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be moving to the American League to even everything out. So the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is where you can find us, where you can talk to us, where you can spout out whatever you have to say, or you can do it in the chat room, which is open. You can do the same thing there. I'm tired of talking right now for the time being. Let's bring my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, in that order.
Hey, what's going on, people? The Zebras are back. New football. Let's get this football going.
Oh, yeah, this is Jeff the Joker, and I second that.
All right, guys, before I go any further, our illustrious founder of all these programs, Mr. FSP, was my opponent last week. He laid the smack talk down quite a bit last week, spouting off that he was going to beat me like a redheaded stepchild. And needless to say, believe it or not, I was pretty humble. I was amazed about myself. He decided to put some monetary value on it, which I told him not to do it. I tried to convince him. So I made it as low as possible just to try to show him that, you know, I wasn't going to try to take advantage of him. And lo and behold, what he thought was going to be a win turned out to be a decisive loss on his part and a decisive win on my part. He still hasn't had enough. We're playing in another league. I think in the league that we're all four of us are in, and he still wants some more. So I decided to roll what I won in the last encounter into this encounter. This is going to be like taking a small snowball in a dead of winter, put it on the top of a hill, and let it roll down and see how it gets bigger. That's what it's going to be. So, Mr. FSP, I know he's probably not going to call in, but that's okay because I told him yesterday when I talked to him that I was going to call him out I was going to let him know that I did beat him. All the smack talk he had to say. And also the other thing I wanted to say before we get into the program here, for the first time, I played fantasy baseball. Vic invited me into a league. I decided to join the league. From the first week to the last week to the championship, I was the number one seed, won the league, and hesitantly, Mr. Vic Gardner, had to pay the man again.
Hmm.
What can I tell you? I was pretty amazed at what happened. Needless to say, I'm not going to turn the money down, but I just have to thank you, Mr. Gardner, for inviting me into the league and let me enjoy the fruits of my labor at the end of the league. That's all I have to say about that.
I think it's time to lose the Jerry ATM moniker and hand it right on over to the Vic ATM Gardner.
Exactly. I've been trying to hand it over to him, but he won't pick up the baton. So I'm going to have to probably force it down his throat. But sooner or later, he's going to have to learn, because since last year, I think exactly, maybe this time last year, I haven't lost to him in any kind of wager that he decided he wanted to bring upon us. So I don't know how much it's going to take before he decides that he shouldn't be doing that. But, hey, if he wants to give up the money, who am I to turn it down? Anyway, let's go. It's like you earlier said, Black, the refs are back. Yes, they are, due to a $300 million, I don't know if you guys noticed, a $300 million turnover or change in the money in Vegas from the Packers winning to the Seattle winning. It turned around $300 million. I don't know if you knew that, Black. Did you know that?
The bookie monster knows everything about the money. That was 80% of the people who laid their money with the Packers, and they got a very rude awakening at the end of that game.
Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, a couple days ago. Today's what, Thursday? I was talking to him either Tuesday or Wednesday. Can't recall. It was right. I think it was Tuesday, right after the game. And I'm saying, $300 million turnaround, because of in my opinion, a missed call. I don't know about you, how you guys feel about a missed call. Now, how much pressure? Of those 300 million people, other people who lost $300 million or whatever that weren't included, that didn't take Seattle, took Green Bay and got jobbed at the end, how much pressure did they give to the NFL? I know they're bettors, but they're friends of people who are friends of people. So I got to imagine there was a lot besides what happened and the uproar and the thousands and thousands of texts and emails and Twitter that the NFL got or the owners got. How much other pressure from the betting population was laid to bear on the NFL that caused them to, now I would say hurriedly, but expeditiously, let me put it that way, come to an agreement 3 days after Monday Night Football? You guys want to comment on that or what?
I don't think it was any pressure on Vegas. They took in all that money. There's no pressure.
Not on Vegas.
Vegas.
I'm talking about Vegas or the people who lost money because of what happened, because of a job call from a replacement official. I have to believe, but I'll wait for Jeff to come in here. I got to believe a lot of people quite naturally wagered a lot of money on Monday Night Football, on football games in general. And when something like that happens because of a stupid call from a replacement official, I got to believe people that are associated with the NFL have friends that bet heavily on these games, and maybe close friends of whoever that has to do with the NFL owners or whatever. You think they may have helped to put more pressure versus the general population that was putting more pressure and outrage because of these crazy calls that have been happening leading up to what really happened and lost the game for the Green Bay Packers. You guys got any comment on whatever I said or if I'm way out of bounds or I don't know what I'm talking about, let me know.
Yeah, you might be out of bounds. Nine out of ten gamblers know that the house always wins. So they know that going in. Whether it's competent refs out there, whether it's Stevie Wonder out there reffing, it's hard to beat Vegas on a regular day. And with these crazy refs being out there and blowing these calls, it was even more in favor of Vegas.
Jeff?
You know,
I know you're conspiracy theorist. That's why I'm asking you that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, ideally, the point spreads are set up so that there's going to be the even number of action on both sides, but it doesn't always work like that. And I knew a guy who, believe me, was a bigger conspiracy theory nut than I am, and he said he researched and he said you could find out that what games where the money was flowing for what games because it's not always equal. When it's equal, then the house always wins, but it's not always equal. Now, but this you know debacle, the inaccurate reception by Golden Tate on Monday night. That was the NFL's worst nightmare. You know, the first week went okay. The second week was a mess. And, you know, if this was a game, you know, San Diego against Kansas City or something that maybe a lot of people weren't watching, they could have maybe pulled it off. This was the Monday night game. This was the Packers,
right.
You know. And the last play of the game, and it swings the point spread. I mean, that's just the icing on the cake. This was their worst nightmare. You know, they really blew it. I mean, I think the refs are being kind of greedy. You think they're getting paid very well for part-time work plus a pension. But, you know, the owners are making it hand over fist. But that's why, because they screw everybody. That's why they're rich.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get that way by being nice. They got their money usually through inheritance and then screwing everybody possible. That's what they do. If they get away with it, they would pay the players peanuts. But, you know, they can't get away with it. So, but at least, I mean, the NFL refs, the regular refs look great now. They're not perfect, but at least they're professional and they're consistent because, I mean, in the NFL, it's such a bunch of hypocrites because they talk about the integrity. You know what? They would have been a better job if they had a three-man crew of Lowry, Moe, and Curly working the games. I mean, integrity, my butt. You know, this is the same league that talks about player safety and then wants to expand the season to 18 games. So they're full of it. They just want to save a buck. And then with these replacement guys, they didn't even get good replacements. These weren't guys from Division I colleges. These were from Division III colleges, NAIA colleges. They had a guy who got fired by the Lingerie League. They had, I think, a couple guys fired by the Big 12. Hypothetically, if they brought in better replacements, it could have worked. But, you know, these guys are a bunch of ham and eggers, you know, so...
Right.
There was not a lot. There were Packer fans protesting in front of Lambeau Field the next morning. I thought, well, they don't – it wouldn't be convenient. I mean, they should be protesting in front of the league office in New York. And I'm curious if anyone did that because the league office is in New York.
Commissioner Goodell got a ton of calls.
I'm sure. And, you know, he's a smart guy, but he works for the owners, and they don't want to just make money. They want to make disgusting money. And they don't open their books. The teams, except for the Packers, every team, their books are private. And the only reason the Packers have public books is because they have shareholders. They're the only publicly held team. The owners, they take the risk. They put up the money. It's, you know, I don't have a problem with them making a buck, but I don't like them screwing screwing the fans. You know, we're the customers, you know. But it shows what little regard they have for us, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just glad it's over.
Okay. Let me read this little article I got here. The lockout had been in place since June when talks on a new collective bargaining agreement broke down, forcing the NFL to use poorly qualified replacement referees for the preseason and opening 3 weeks of the regular season, like we know. Significantly, NFL team owners only became directly involved in talks on Tuesday after the touchdown call in Seattle prompted a nationwide reaction with massive media interest, fan protests, and even encouragement from President Barack Obama for the two sides to resolve their differences swiftly. This is a quote. We know that the successful resolution of this high-profile dispute will be greeted enthusiastically by the dedicated professional athletes throughout the NFL and the millions of devoted fans. That's an end quote, said George H. Cohen, a federal mediator who assisted in the negotiations. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the same a mediator that was involved with the players' lockout also. The recognizable face of Gene Steratore in his 10th season as an NFL referee will be in charge of Thursday's primetime game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, while replacement refs return to the lower divisions of college, high school, and semi-pro football. The new CBA must be still ratified on Friday by the union membership, but NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell lifted the lockout prior to that vote in order to avoid another game with the heavily criticized replacements in charge. The union won some concessions from the NFL on the changes to the pension wanted by the league while agreeing to the introduction of some full-time referees and a development pool of future refs. Compensation for game officials will increase from an average of $149,000 a year in 2011 to $173,000 in 2013, rising to $205,000 by 2019. While they agreed to grandfather in the pension may leave some of the referees unsatisfied, the current system will be kept in place for 5 years before a switchover to a 401k. The terms were widely viewed as favorable for the union. And this is another thing from another quote from a Notre Dame finance professor who specializes in economic sports. The owners appear to have grossly overestimated their bargaining power and underestimated the bargaining power of the referees. Referees had the option, at least in the short term, of not agreeing with whatever the NFL powers demanded. The owners' arrogance and hubris led them to make a larger wager that the referee's job was so easy that they could hire replacements and no one would notice. Unfortunately, like you guys all know, fans noticed. If there was any doubt that the owners made an incredibly misinformed bet, the doubt was removed from Monday night. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but you guys got the gist of it. The arrogance of the owners, that was one of the quotes, figured that replacements could do the same job as the normal referees. Where in God's name could you absolutely think that somebody from the lingerie league, some from Division III, or Arena League could be able to deal with the speed of the game of an NFL, of an NFL game? I have no idea about that. And if you guys want to comment on what I said or anything else, just speak up.
The owners, like all people who are filthy, stinking rich, are not in touch with reality. But they saw what happened over these replacement officials. And so I think they're starting to look around and say, well, we got to be more in touch with this game because this obviously didn't work at all.
Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, the owners blew it. I just give them credit for at least cutting the losses after the debacle on week three. Because I think conventional wisdom was after the first week, there were complaints, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And you think, oh, it's going to get better. And it didn't get better. It got worse because I guess they got more exposed. And one of the many reasons it didn't work, besides the fact they were bringing in, you know, not even second-tier reps, you know, they were throwing new teams together. I mean, referees work as a team. And if, let's say, you know, one of these replacement guys, you put him on a crew with experienced guys, they would, you know, help him out most likely. But you can't just throw seven slobs together and expect them to be a good good crew of reps. It's not going to happen, you know.
Well, apparently the owners thought that you could put these referees together, whoever they came from or wherever they came from, and they would be plug and play. Like any monkey can do the job of an NFL referee, their eyes were wide opened when they realized from week to week it got worse and worse leading up to Monday night. So, all right, let's move on about the referees, and I want to go to the Eric Gagne, who was a former Cy Young Award winner and a Los Angeles Dodger pitcher, who recently released a biography titled Game Over, The Story of Eric Gagne. And it's written completely in French because he happens to be, I don't know why he did it, he's French-Canadian. And the fact that the book has come out in French is not the news. The news is when he first admitted using human growth hormones when he retired from baseball in 2010, in his biography, he's claiming that approximately 80% of his Dodgers, he was also used some form of performance-enhancing drugs from the time he was a Dodger from 1999 to 2006. And during that time, he played with several big names, including Gary Sheffield, Eric Karras, Adrian Beltre, Kevin Brown, Raul Mondesi, Sean Green, Jeff Weaver, Brian Jordan, Jim Leyritz, Guillermo Moto, and J.D. Drew. Now, I'm pretty sure if you guys know anything about baseball, a lot of these players that I named off are not household names, but you know the names. He didn't name any specific names in the biography, but a few of those players have already been linked to PED usage because of the Mitchell report. Like Drew and Sheffield were mentioned in the Mitchell report a few years back. I don't know if you guys know about this. Black clued me in on this, so I'm going to give it to Black first, and then Jeff, if he wants to comment also. Talk to me, Black.
Yeah, well, first, Mr. Gagne. It's Mr. Gagne, not Gagne.
Okay, Gagne.
One of those fancy French boys. You know how they are. But Mr. Gagne, man, I don't see why these guys take the loyalty of the locker room, and then once they quit the game, just go out and spill the beans. I've never understood that philosophy. I don't know why Gagne did this. Maybe it's to make some more money. I don't know if he has millions tucked away or not. This isn't a good move, man. This isn't a good move at all.
Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I'm just curious about all the details. Does he need the money? Of course, I mean, that's a very high percentage of guys. He said 80%. That means 25-man roster. It's 20 guys. That's almost the whole team.
Right.
Now, so, of course, you know, especially if a guy's trying to sell a book, I tend to be skeptical. But, you know, I remember when Jose Canseco first started making all those statements, everyone said, he's broke, he needs the money, he's trying to sell a book. And a lot of stuff that Canseco said turned out to be true. So I'm just curious why this guy's opening his mouth. And, you know, I mean, he probably shouldn't, but, you know, those guys were cheating, you know. And it just, that doesn't mean he should open up his mouth about it, but and they never should have. They let the sport get out of control. They really did. They should have put their foot down with the steroids years before. But I'm convinced after that bad strike, you know, guys were hitting a lot of homers and putting butts in the seats. So they said, all right, well, we needed that boost. A lot of these guys don't look right. Oh well, who cares? We're making money, you know.
Right.
And that's the deal they made with the devil, and they're still. It's one of those things that was such a big deal. Years later, we're still sorting it out, you know.
And you know, and the thing about it, it's pretty hypocritical of baseball, because the fact is that I understand they were taking performance-enhancing drugs, HGH or whatever it may be. But just like you said, Jeff, they were making money hands over fists and putting butts in the seat because guys were putting up astronomical power numbers, especially home run numbers. Each one of these guys was trying to top the other one. And baseball really was flourishing before the bottom, I would say bottom fell out, but before the bottom fell out and the Mitchell report came out, and which was supposed to be confidential, which wasn't supposed to be, names were supposed to be released, and all of a sudden you started hearing names coming out. And then you got guys that were players that were in the locker room, Jose Canseco for one, that decides they want to put names out there. Excuse me. And it's you know, the unwritten rule of what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's you got a new type of animal now, new type of player. Whether regardless of what profession he's in or she's in, it seems like once they leave the locker room and a team type of thing, the loyalty leaves. Once they step out that locker room and no longer comes in back into the locker room, the loyalty leaves, is left in the locker room, and all bets are off. And if they can make a buck by doing a squeal job, which I don't think is right, it takes away from the integrity of the person, in my opinion, that you would do that when you're away from the game versus when you're in the game. You don't say a word, but you don't have repercussions of any teammates, so you're pretty insulated, and you're just reaping the rewards of being a squealer. So I don't agree with it. It's happening over and over, and it seems like it's welcomed because it's sensationalized news, which is the thing the media is hungry for, any kind of sensational news to get on a team, to get on a player, to get on whoever. That's what they want to do, but it doesn't sit well with me. I don't know about you guys. So anyway, let's move on to Black wanted me to talk about this, and I'll talk about this. This guy, he was a third base coach, and that's why Black wanted me to talk about this guy. Bo Porter was hired as the Houston's manager on Thursday, and quite naturally, the Houston Astros next year, if I'm not mistaken, are going to the American League. I think it's next year, and hoping he can help orchestrate a turnaround with the team similar to the one he's been a part of in the Nationals. Porter, who, like I said, who was the Nationals' third base coach this season, and replaces Brad Mills, who was fired last month, and he will remain with the postseason-bound Nationals for the remainder of the season. Black, I don't know too much about this guy. I read some things briefly. You gave me the info or whatever that you wanted me to talk about this guy, so the floor is yours.
I just wanted to give my man props, Bo Porter. The Nationals have had an amazing season, which is still continuing. When you're having a season like this, I like to keep the coaching staff together, but I understand that there's bigger and brighter opportunities on the horizon. So I just wanted to give Bo Porter a shout out for being the new coach down there in Houston.
And Jeff, I don't know if you know this or if you know this, Black. I know Houston's supposed to go to the American League. I don't know if it's next year or 2014. Does anyone know that?
I heard they're going. I don't know when.
Yeah. I don't know when they're going either.
Yeah. I didn't look that up before we jumped on the air, so I'm not sure exactly when Houston's supposed to be going to the let me see if I can find out real quick. Anyway,
they're moving to the American League West next year, 2013.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So they're going to be a whipping post for the Dodgers, the Angels, the Seattle Mariners, and who else is in the West? Dodgers, Angels, and the Oakland Athletics. So I think Seattle's out of the four teams I named, the Houston Astros are going to be fighting for the bottom part of that division with Seattle. Because Oakland has improved with a new young pitching staff. Texas has got a lineup, murderer's row, along with a decent pitching staff. L.A., Angels are going to be a lot better. They have a stout everyday lineup along with up-and-coming pitchers. So Seattle and Houston, good luck, because you're going to be fighting for the bottom position in that division. So anyway, let's get to – it's 8:30, and I think the game may have started already, if I'm not mistaken. New referees old referees, and we got Trent Richardson and on one side that is definitely a must-start. And I'm trying to think who else would on that side that you would want to even pick up besides Trent Richardson.
I believe that would be no one.
I'm really off the top of my head. I'm not even looking at it on the computer. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. If you're an IDP, then you may want to use Jabeel Sheard. I think I pronounce his name. He's the defensive end. You could use him in the IDP league. On the other side, quite naturally, there's a lot of players on the other side. Torrey Smith, for one, is a good play in here. Quite naturally, Joe Flacco, who I've been touting since the beginning of the season. No huddle, more explosive offense. Definitely with him. Ray Rice, that's a given. Dennis Pita, who happens to be the BFF for Joe Flacco. I got not a sneaky one, but one that a lot of people don't think about, but those points count too. Justin Tucker, who happens to be the young kicker for the Baltimore Ravens, happens to be an extremely good kicker and extremely accurate kicker. Has been piling up points from week to week. Points count from every position, including the kicker, believe it or not. And he's still sitting out there, which a lot of people are starting to catch on to. That is a good kicker to pick up because the Baltimore Ravens are going to be in the scoring position quite a bit due to their offense. Even if they don't score a touchdown, field goals are going to be available because of the way they move the offense. So Justin Tucker would be a very reliable kicker. Okay. Any guys that want to comment on that or anything I may have forgotten about?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, well, with kickers, I mean, with me, you know, almost so many fantasy matchups are close. You know, I look at the kickers. I look at everybody. And sometimes that could be the difference. I mean, you're not going to – your kicker's never going to be your MVP. But, hey, you still want points from that position every week, you know. So But a lot of that is based on matchups. That's what makes it difficult, you know. I got the game on. I just saw Ray Lewis welcome Brandon Whedon to the NFL.
Oh,
gave him a nice hard hit. And I'll tell you, you know, fantasy, you got studs, you got duds, and you got puds. And I'll tell you, one of the puds is on Cleveland, Greg Little. I think they call him that because his hands are little. That guy couldn't catch a football if it had a handle. And he's going to find himself not just on my bench, which I'll probably end up releasing him. He's going to get benched by the Browns because they're leading the league in drop passes, and he's the worst one. They took him in the supplemental draft last year. He was really good at North Carolina. Last year was kind of a waste, but come on, hold on to the football. That's job one. Come on, you know?
Well, I don't know if you guys knew it or not, but I got disconnected for somehow, and I really didn't hear anything you said, Joker. I'm sorry. I just jumped back in. What play were you talking about holding on to the football?
Greg Little. Yeah,
Greg
he's
Little.
A guy, you know, he's on a roster. You know, he's on rosters in deeper leagues, and you know, he's one of these guys. I think he was considered a deep sleeper before the season, and there's
right.
always those list of guys. And what is it, maybe 1 in 10 of those guys work out? I mean, I'm happy that I got that Minnesota tight end Rudolph in two leagues. I'm pretty happy about that. But
yes.
for every guy like that, there's like 10 guys who do nothing, you know. So.
Right. Well, I got a question for you. And it's not just on this game, but I got a question for you. You talk about Kyle Rudolph, who I was touting earlier before the season started. I'm going to the exact opposite. What do you think about what happened to what's happening to Chris Johnson?
You know, I'm sympathetic to the guys who drafted him. I mean, personally, I don't like to gamble with my high picks.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's like a catch-22. You draft him high, you can't cut him. And he's probably hard to trade because you're not going to get much for him. And, you know, I mean, yeah, somebody would take him, but they're not going to give you much. So you can't start him, you can't cut him, you can't trade him. I mean, that's a team killer. And
right.
I remember, I wish I could remember which expert, but after he had his big year, one of the experts said he's going to have somewhat of a decline because most of his yards are on big runs. And they're going to look at the film and find ways to contain him better. Because he was a guy you saw, you know, if he carried, if he had an average, well, for him it was an average game at the time. If he had 20 carries, 100 yards, it wasn't like he was grinding it out for 5 yards a carry. A lot
mm-hmm.
of those, you know, kind of like Barry Sanders, he got his yards on big runs, and a lot of his other runs were for nothing. And now he's not breaking those long runs, so he's not going to pick up yards, you know, 5 here and 6 there. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So without those breakaway runs, forget it. He's useless.
Black?
I think he's suffering from Vince Young syndrome. When Vince Young was there, the defense had to account for Vince Young throwing and scrambling out of that pocket. And therefore, keeping the eye on Vince Young and nobody keeping the extra eye on Chris Johnson. Now that there's no Vince Young there, all eyes are on Chris Johnson, and they're forcing Jake Locker to throw that thing downfield and do what he needs to do. I never owned Chris Johnson in any of the leagues. I started after Vince Young left playing fantasy football. I'm glad I don't have him. All I hear is hard stories about CJ2K, the most traded guy in one of my leagues last year. He hasn't been moved to any league that I know of this year, but I'm just glad I didn't draft him. I wouldn't even touch him, especially after that 2,000-yard season.
Right. The simple fact is, Black, in the league we were in, your league, he was definitely moved around quite a bit. And I think he may have done well in 1 week for me and then 1 or 2 weeks for the person I traded him to. So he wasn't a consistent scorer every week. And just like Jess said, he was a team killer, because you put him in there and he doesn't get squat. You never know what's he going to do. So that's always a bad thing, to have a high draft pick and not be able to benefit from his high draft status, that he would help you. So, all right, let's move on to the touchdown rule, okay? The touchdown rule that we were talking about on Monday Night Football. I know you guys, just like because of fantasy and just because it's football and you guys like football, and it was a highly anticipated game with the Green Bay Packers in Seattle, playing Seattle Seahawks, who has a very good defense. There was a lot of strange calls, or bad calls. I shouldn't say strange, bad calls in that game, one of which was a pass interference call between, and I can't remember who the defensive back was, but I specifically know it was Sidney Rice as the wide receiver. Sidney Rice goes up for a pass and absolutely mugs the defensive back from the Green Bay Packers. And I think it was on a drive toward the end of the game. And I don't know if you guys saw this or you guys remember what I'm talking about. He completely mugged the defensive back on the Green Bay Packers. And the pass interference call, which I still, from the time I've seen it, more than one replay, was called on Green Bay Packers, which helped them quite naturally to get a first down. I think it was on a third down play, which helped them get a first down, which kept on sustaining the drive. You guys recall that in that game before we go any further?
I actually was at work, so I missed most of the game. I saw maybe like 2 minutes at the end, but I also saw another missed pass interference before the a touchdown, an interception, a touchback, whatever you call that last play at the end of the game. Man, that was another blown missed pass interference call, offensively. So these refs, I guess sounds like they screwed this game up from top to bottom, huh?
Well, Jeff, do you have anything to say?
I saw most of the game. I didn't see that specific play. I think one of the many complaints about the replacement reps were the interference calls. Usually the complaints were about them not calling it on the defense, and they did throw some flags on that, but it wasn't consistent. And there was a lot of other plays where, you know, defensive backs were beating the crap out of the wide receivers. You know, it's just you can make a highlight reel, it'd be more like a lowlight reel of all the bad calls. And the players, though, they know if they're not throwing flags on the corners for interference, they're going to push their luck. They're going to see what they can get away with, and they did. And that's why you need good refs, because these players, that they're very gifted athletically, but also they're smart. They have skills. They know what they're doing. They know how to get away with stuff, and they know how to push the boundaries of the rules. And these lousy refs could not keep it under control. You know, just glad we got the real guys back.
Now, from the first week up until this last week, when they had replacement refs, you could see, and correct me if I'm wrong, you could see that the players realize that these guys are going to let us get away with more. That it's just the, and I think it was Herman Edwards said it. Someone said it on one of these shows, that it's a substitute teacher type of mentality. The substitute teacher's in there, we can get away with a lot. more than if we had the regular teacher in there. And it seems like especially the defensive players, just like you said, Jeff, seem like they could try to get away with a lot, pulling more contact past the 5-yard marker, doing just little chippy things to offset what the offense wanted to do, because they figured that these refs couldn't call everything and don't know the whole complete rule book, especially the NFL rules compared to the Arena League or the Division 3A or whatever. So they figured they could get away with a little bit more, and you could see it progressively getting worse. A lot more skirmishes were happening each from week to week. And I'm looking at the ref right now when Baltimore and the Cleveland try to get into a skirmish. The referee jumped in real quick and got in one of the players' face, pushing him away, and he more or less was saying, this ain't going to happen. Don't even try it. So you can see these guys are going to take control of this game and not let it get to what it was for the last 3 weeks. You guys got any comments? I don't know if anybody is watching the game.
I'm at work, so I can't see it.
Okay. Jeff?
I'm with you. But I got to, before the show's over, we got about 15 minutes left. I got to give you credit, and we have the archives from last week to prove it, that Jerry, you keep making calls like this, you're gonna become not the master, the genius, because you sold high on C.J. Spiller. I thought it was worth mentioning.
Oh, what
you know
I don't
what I'm
know
talking
exactly
about.
What, okay.
Well, you said last week that you had C.J. Spiller, and who was playing great, and at the peak of his value. And it's tough to part with a guy like that, but you got offered Calvin Johnson, right?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely,
and now,
yes.
Spiller's out for a little bit, and it looks like – so it's not as serious as it looks. So he's out at least a week. Fred Jackson might be ready this week. And Buffalo knows how to run the ball, so they even have Tashard Choice, who might be getting some carries this week. But
right.
You got maximum value for C.J. Spiller. I mean, if his shoulder's healthy, he should be getting more carries now. But getting Calvin Johnson for him, that's the deal of the century.
Well, and the thing about it, Jeff, let me expound on it. The thing about it, like I was saying last week, now, for 2 weeks, he was the number one running back. Everybody wanted him. And I took a shot. And like I said, I put him out there, and somebody wanted to grab him, and I got Calvin Johnson for him. He's going to be coming back. Fred Jackson's going to be coming back. And Shane Gailey already said it's going to be a timeshare. It's going to be, you know, these guys are going to be sharing carries. So they're going to get about 10 to 15 carries apiece. And whoever's probably the hot hand is going to get, that for that game, the majority of the carries. So, in a timeshare, they like to run the ball, but it's in a timeshare. So, he's not going to get 20, 25 carries. He's not going to get the type of numbers that he has been putting up for the last 2 weeks. So, I didn't think about it, but thank you, Jeff. I truly believe in doing that, and I had somebody who wanted a bite, and I need him because in that league, I think I'm 0-3. And I got a hell of a team, and I just can't believe I'm 0-3. Now I got Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson on that team, so I'm very happy about that. So,
where is the Black the Bookie love?
What do you mean?
I gave you guys the greatest play last week in Ramsey's Barton. Where's my love?
Oh, I'm sorry. You are. You know, I text you or you. No, I think I text you. I text you on that. That was a hell of a call. I got to admit, man, you know, when you said Ramsey Barton, I'm saying, what? What is he talking about? And I'm dead serious when I say that, and I'm watching this, and I'm just shaking my damn head. I said, damn, Black called this shit. I said, oh, my God. I think he had like 13 catches and 160-something yards or whatever in a touchdown
yes.
or two.
Yes.
Now, well, tell me this, Black. Tell me this. Did you grab
any? I have Ramsey's bottom in three leagues.
Having all kinds of issues here. Hold on. Did you grab him on any of your teams and use him?
Yeah, I have him in three leagues. But I haven't used him yet because my star receiver is a much more high caliber. But I have him for the long haul in case somebody gets hurt.
Okay. But he hasn't been used in – well, Jeff would know better than I would because he's a Giant fan. He hasn't been used in God knows how long. And I was amazed they used him. And they used him like he's an everyday player for years.
Yeah, I don't
Jeff,
understand Coughlin, man. Like I was telling you in the text, this guy's athletic and he's 6'6". You're
right.
Talking about replacing a guy like Plaxico Burress. You have a guy there that's like Plaxico Burress. Let him play.
You know why, Vic? I'm sorry, Black. Because there was guys ahead of him on the depth chart, and I
those
remember
guys
they drafted.
Are not 6'6".
Right, right. No, I'm with you. I mean, I remember when they drafted him. It was after. You know, Papa Cap, dumbass, ruined what could have been a championship season. He ruined what would have been called the Giant Dynasty because very rarely does a team look that good after a Super Bowl win. It's not all on Plax. It's a team sport, but it really, shut down that team. They fell apart after that. There was other factors involved. And Barden, he was from a small school. He was kind of raw. And, he was ahead of him. They look at the guys ahead of him at the time were Steve Smith, Hakeem Nicks. These guys weren't bums, Manningham. So now, and then last year, Barden could have had his shot, but then, Cruz emerged. But I think there were times when Barden had trouble just suiting up and being active on game day because – if you're a backup receiver, you got to play special teams, and he didn't play special teams, which maybe he could have pushed himself to try to get on some of the special team units, but that's, the reality of a 45-man roster is, backup receivers got to cover kicks and punts because you just only have so many guys to do it. But I give him credit for making the most of his opportunity, and if Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz stay healthy, he might just be the third receiver, but a very good third receiver. And Nicks has durability issues, so, Barden will step right in. And the thing is, one of the things I like about Eli is Eli doesn't really have a favorite receiver. I mean, his favorite receiver is the open guy. So that's one of the things that makes him a good quarterback. And Barden kept catching him. And Eli kept throwing them. and all week long I was hearing, with the short week, practically everybody was forfeiting the game for the Giants. I thought it would be a tough game, but they'd have a shot. But they really manhandled Carolina. I was not expecting that. But that's why they play the games, the Giants had, a lot of guys out, and Carolina did nothing. They laid an egg. So no matter how grim it looks, Joshua Cribbs just got hit really bad. His helmet flew off. Does not look good. So
his helmet flew off, and his head whipped to the ground. So it's you're right.
It looks like he's out.
I wouldn't say a vicious hit, but it was a solid hit. And like you said, Jeff, his helmet flew off, and as he was coming to the ground, his head whipped it hit the ground. Oh,
man.
Wow. Ooh, and then he gets kicked to the head.
Oh, jeez. I hope he's okay. That's a former D.C. guy right there, Joshua Quiz from D.C. Man,
oh, really?
I hope he's all right. Yeah. He's a local guy, man. Man.
You guys ever see the show The League? It's on FX. It's a show. It's about a and he was a guest on that show. The show's about a bunch of guys, and in the background is they're in the same fantasy football league.
Right.
And it's a funny show. It's kind of edgy for regular cable TV.
I love it, Joker.
And most of those guys are stand-up comedians more than actors. And I haven't seen it this season, but I saw the previous two seasons, and I got a lot of laughs out of it. And Josh Cribbs was one of the guys who guested on the show. And that's a pretty fun show. Yeah, it's called The League. And they get guests like Cribbs. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys. They had Ocho Cinco a couple of years ago.
They had Matthew Berry on there a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, they have analysts. Oh, Terry Bradshaw they had once. And you know, those guys, that's a wacky crew. They're like, they're crazier than the Seinfeld gang.
And what's this show about?
It's about a bunch of guys. But it's called The League because they all play in the same fantasy league.
Is it still running now, or was it just an older show?
It's still running. It's on FX. It might be late at night. And
okay.
They get away with a lot for regular cable.
Let me tell you, Jerry, you'll love it. The way you love fantasy, you'll love this show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh man, I gotta look this up and see if I can find it so I can start watching this thing.
Sometimes it's unrealistic though, because they'll just do a trade, lickety split, no approval or wait or anything. Little things like that. But overall, it's fairly accurate. And they even have issues with. They got the one guy's crazy brothers in the league, and he doesn't know squat. but he's funny, you know. And these guys, they go crazy. I mean, they go nuts for the trophy. They got a name for the trophy. And these guys are wacky, you know. They got their adventures and whatever. They do a lot of funny stuff.
Okay. We got about 3 minutes left in the show. You guys wanted to go over anything before we close this show out?
I gotta give a shout out, man. I feel bad for this guy. One of the quarterbacks that I like growing up watching. Recently been discovered that he has dementia at 53 years old. Just ridiculous. We gotta talk about Jimmy Mack next week, man. We gotta talk about Jimmy Mack.
Okay. I saw something on that. He's been suffering with that for a while, though. It just didn't come up. He's been suffering with that for a while. And I'll make it a point that we talk about Jim McMahon next week.
Yeah, when I heard what he said, talking about had he known what he'd known now, he would have just stuck with playing baseball. I was like, man, it's a tough statement to make.
And he was a real cocky and real flamboyant. I wouldn't say flamboyant, but he was a real popular football player along with those 85 Bears. So
one of the last old school tough nosed quarterbacks, not named Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Well, we got a little more a minute left in the show. I want to thank you guys for showing up and enjoyed another episode of the FSP Crew Show. Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, and me, the host, want to thank you for those who are listening. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where we'll do another episode of FSP Crew Show. Tomorrow will be the 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time will be the No Chaser with Mac as the host. I am the co-host. Talking about sports and whatever else Mac wants to talk about. Then on a Saturday, be to 1 p.m., the FSP show. Vic Gardner is the host. I'm the co-host. We'll be talking about sports and politics like we always do. And then on Sunday would be the master plan. I had told you last week about players that hold on, they're coming. I'm going, and I named specific players. those players cashed in big time, and I'll name those specific players and what they did from last week to this week, and also try to give you some other players that may be cashing in this week.
What's the word on my fullback, Andre Johnson?
Hey, he had a good week last week. Don't even complain about that. He had a good week last week. Then on Tuesday will be Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Change of pace, like I've always said before, she's a change of pace on this team. She's on Tuesday. Catch her and enjoy her show. And like I said, that brings us all right back to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time FSP Cruise Show. From me, Black, and Jeff the Joker, I want to thank you again for talking, and listening. And we'll be catching you next week. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.